Vielen Dank, Herr Bürgermeister, Bundeskanzlerin Merkel, Ministerpräsident Placzek und meine sehr geehrten Damen und Herren. Ich möchte mich vielmals bedanken für diese Ehre und Gelegenheit, hier zu sein. Und jetzt werde ich Englisch reden. Thank you, really. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with everyone. And today's proceedings have been, I think, wonderfully timed and very important given the challenges we have. Many of you in the room face these challenges on a daily basis. I think talking about them and trying to understand them better is the only way to identify ways to improve the situation. For its part, Freedom House has emphasized freedom of expression and press freedom because we believe it's indispensable for other fundamental freedoms, including political and economic freedoms. We also believe press freedom is integral for democratically accountable systems. I heard this throughout the day today. So in the very brief time I have, I'm going to touch on some of the key elements of the discussion today, some of the things that I believe are integral to understanding the modern challenges to press freedom. And I should say right at the outset that the title of these remarks are a bit of a misnomer in the sense that 21st century challenges to press freedom aren't solely modern challenges to press freedom. This is crystal clear. The challenges have both a new dimension, which we find mostly through technology, the advances that have emerged through the internet and other communications tools. There's also a more traditional, old dimension to the challenge, which I think we heard very clearly today, certainly from our colleagues in Central and Eastern Europe. So the new challenges. The heart of the challenge, as we heard today on many different levels, is how to leverage the technology that clearly affords wonderful opportunities for development, for business, for expressing ideas, and I would add for democratic reformers to coordinate, communicate in ways that simply wasn't possible in the past. At the same time, the economics of the new model, as I think virtually every panel in one way or another touched on, are creating enormous challenges to the model that in the past, certainly through the newspaper industry, afforded the sort of trust and accuracy that's critical for audiences believing and using what they read. So we're at, I think, a very unusual crossroads where the opportunities are in view, certainly to a degree. Matthias Döpfner articulated this, I thought, very eloquently earlier today. At the same time, it's hard to see precisely where the elements of news and information reporting are going to be provided in a way that fulfills its role as a political good and a public good. And to my mind, that's the missing link right now. Whether information that's produced in the new media environment will allow citizens to understand what's happening in public affairs, to learn about corruption in a meaningful way, and to further understand how they should participate in public life. These are the issues I would put roughly and shortly into the technology challenge. I'll mention another new challenge. And I should say that these categories are not fixed and firm, but they are, I think, broad and illustrate some of the broader challenges we have today. The challenge that I'd also put into the new category is something we might call creeping illiberalism. We have challenges from the technological front, on the economic front. These are clear. They've been described. We also have a new struggle that's taking shape between the advocates of free speech and those who are seeking to develop and in some cases legitimize forms of censorship and control. This is happening from diverse sources ranging from autocrats to oligarchs to religious organizations that have attempted to discourage journalists, publishers, researchers, non-governmental organizations, as well as political satirists from speaking their mind and talking candidly on important issues. This illiberalism is rearing its head in a variety of venues and in a variety of ways. I'll just give two examples of this. Two units of the United Nations system, the General Assembly and the Human Rights Council, pass annual resolutions that call for restrictions on what people can say and write about religions. And this is focused in a certain direction. The principal targets of these resolutions are clearly the democracies of Europe, rather than the autocracies where free speech and religious liberty are already under control or threat. Another example of illiberalism that's pushing its way beyond borders is found in China, which has been at the vanguard of innovative and new ways of controlling what its own citizens can see and read, but it's also been doing this beyond its borders. The challenge that occurred last year at the Frankfurter Buchmesse is just one example of this. Similar efforts by the Chinese authorities to suppress free expression in democracies, and I emphasize this is in democracies, have been seen in the last year in places ranging from Australia to Taiwan to the United States. In these cases, it may be tempting to take the path of least resistance in responding to these challenges. I would say it's essential that the democracies stay vigilant in ensuring that these basic values of free expression are defended. Very briefly, the traditional threats. We heard, I think, in far too graphic detail from our colleagues very close to the European Union's easternmost border, the challenges they confront on a daily basis, which in some ways are qualitatively different from the sorts of challenges that we heard in the EU context as a general proposition. Freedom of the Press, which is Freedom House's annual review of media freedom in 195 countries, has evaluated some of these main challenges. In the former Soviet Union, it's perhaps the Exhibit A of the challenge. I'd note that in our most recent analysis, we have only two countries that aren't in the consolidated authoritarian media category. Only two. Today, more than 80% of the people in the non-Baltic former Soviet Union live in countries that have not free media systems. That's 230 million people. This is 20 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, and it's in the European neighborhood, if we define it perhaps a bit generously, but I think it's a fair definition. It's fair to say that in the former Soviet Union, there's a crisis of free media today. The internet is a principal alternative and challenger to media freedom. It's offering opportunities in that region for new forms of expression. I'd note very clearly that in Freedom House's latest publication, Freedom on the Net, which looks at internet freedom in a host of relevant countries, in these countries, encroachment to internet freedom is growing rather than receding. This is something we also need to be extremely vigilant about. The three main areas we see in the former Soviet case, the use and abuse of laws to infringe on freedom of expression and free media. It was remarkable today to hear the sorts of tools that are being used, often under the veneer of law, to restrict free expression. We heard cases in Russia of major editors being brought in on a regular basis for what only sounded like interrogations or quasi-interrogations based on laws that are on the books, either to distract, to otherwise take them off their focus or out of their office where they can do their jobs. This is before we get to some of the more serious encroachments. The consolidation and control of media infrastructure is also an ongoing challenge in the non-Baltic former Soviet Union. Violence and impunity. The level of violence and harassment, we heard about this a bit today as well, has also remained a severe problem in the former Soviet Union, as well as Southeastern Europe in a number of cases. In far too many of these cases, the unsolved murders lead to a sense of impunity. In Russia, just to give an example, we have cases including Paul Klebnikov, Anna Politkovskaya, the fourth anniversary of her murder is a month from today. These cases have not been solved. The attitude of the authorities in these cases shows that they are not prepared to deal with this in a meaningful way. And I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge Bundeskanzlerin Merkel for her voice on these issues. It's often a lonely voice in talking about the challenges to press freedom in countries like Russia, in Ukraine as well, which just in recent weeks is starting to show signs of eroding on the very impressive achievements that country had made in the last 5 years since the fall of 2004. If press freedom in Ukraine is allowed to be rolled back, it has implications for Ukraine's democracy, it has implications for the countries on its borders in the former Soviet Union. I would argue it has implications for the European Union in that a Ukraine with a weakened or ineffectual news media will be a Ukraine whose democratic system and therefore reliability will be severely jeopardized. It's a critical country. And as we speak, both in the cases of missing journalists in the last week and the revocation of licenses for two of the main television stations there, these are signals that require all of us to be more vocal and alarmed, quite frankly. To conclude, I've touched on a number of challenges in a very set of broad strokes, but I think what we see is that in 2010, we're on the cusp of two media eras in a way. We're leaving the traditional old era, we're entering a new and in some ways uncharted era, but we're getting a challenge that gives us the problems from both eras, at least for the time being. And the traditional media challenges that we've seen in the form of control of media infrastructure, violence against journalists, this is occurring in some of the systems that are still trying to build democratic accountability, the basic contours of the state. In the European Union, the questions revolve more around privacy, ownership, security. We might call these postmodern challenges to the media. Nevertheless, there's sufficient overlap in these challenges for us to argue that we need to rethink and, I think, devote more attention to the ways to address this in the coming period so that our democracies are safeguarded and that free and vibrant media can enable the sort of systems that we all would like to have. With that, I will cede the rostrum to Bundeskanzlerin Merkel. Thank you very much.